Good morning. It's good to see everybody who is here this morning. As I am scanning the audience, I see we do have a few people that are visiting with us. You're our most welcome and our most honored guest. It is always our intention to make you feel so welcome here that you want to come back and worship God together with us again whenever you're able to come and be with us. My sermon this morning is a sermon I guarantee you is going to hit all of us. I'm going to be going into the scriptures. And from the scriptures, we're going to be talking about how we are caught up in the middle of a spiritual war. And then we need to learn how to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. We're going to start the sermon by going over to Revelation chapter 12, verse 17, which says, "And the dragon was enraged with the woman and went to make war with the rest of her offspring, who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ." And the text here is talking about a war that is taking place in the spiritual dimension. Satan is our enemy. Satan is your enemy. And his intention is to make war against the body of Christ, against Christ's church, and that's you. We must understand the battleground is in our hearts and our minds. And the spoils of this war is going to be your soul's eternal destiny. Continuing now and going over to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, it says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." We are not fighting against a physical enemy. We are fighting against a spiritual enemy. We are fighting against Satan. I spent an entire month on Sunday evenings doing sermons on the reality of Satan, our enemy. He is real. He is not a mythological make-believe character. He is real, and he is making war against all of us. Continuing now over 2 Timothy chapter 2, 3 through 4, it says, "You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier." So right now, men and women who are here this morning, you are soldiers, soldiers of Christ. And the sermon this morning is going to be an in-depth study from the Word of God on how to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, how to fight spiritual warfare against our enemy and hold our ground against the attacks of Satan. Going over to James chapter 4 and verse 7, it says, "Resist the devil and he will flee from you." Okay, just for a moment here, when you think about Satan and his reality, how does that make you feel? Scared. Because I realize I'm dealing with a spiritual being who's more powerful than me. And his desire is to destroy me, to have me in hell with him for all eternity. And the text says here, though, to resist the devil and he will flee from me. Me? You gotta be kidding. Yes, me and you. But the question is, how do you do this? How do you resist Satan? We're going to start by going over now to 2 Corinthians 13 and 5. This is the very first step in you and I resisting Satan and fighting spiritual warfare. 2 Corinthians 13, 5 reads, "Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourself that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified?" The scripture here tells us that we need to be testing ourselves. We need to be examining ourselves. What was it Shakespeare once said? "Above all things, my son, to your own self be true." Examine yourself. Test yourself as to where you really are spiritually. Everybody here this morning, all of us, including me, we all have spiritual weaknesses. There are areas in our lives where we have been tempted by Satan in the past, and we have lost those battles in the past. What I want everybody here to do this morning at the very beginning of the sermon is to come to know the reality of you. Do this in your own mind. What are your greatest spiritual weaknesses? The sin you find yourself struggling with the most. In your mind, write it at the very top. Number one. After you got that one nailed down, you realize that's where you sin the most. Number two. All right, you got that one nailed down. Number three, yeah. I got more than one weakness. How about you? Number four. Number five. What I just asked you to do was list your five greatest spiritual weaknesses. Why? Because this is the first step in truly being a soldier of Christ, and that is knowing yourself, knowing your own weaknesses, where you are losing the battles, so you can later on learn to defend yourselves in those areas. Over in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16, it says, "Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you." The very beginning of this verse is, "Take heed to yourself." That is, this is an Arkansas translation for you. Watch yourself. Take heed to yourself. Check yourself. Watch what you're doing. If you will take heed to the doctrine and the Word of God, and you continue in the Word of God, he's speaking to an evangelist here, you will save yourself and those who hear you. So the very beginning is testing ourselves, examining ourselves, seeing where we really are spiritually. 2 Corinthians 2 and 11 says, "Lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." First step in spiritual warfare is know yourself. Second step in spiritual warfare is know your enemy. The text here talks about Satan and how we are not ignorant of his devices. I have a bit of good news for you. Satan has not come up with anything new. The way in which he's attacking you and me is the same way he has been attacking mankind from the Garden of Eden. He hasn't come up with new attacks and new methods to get us to sin. We're not ignorant of his devices and his techniques and his attacks. So you want to study from the scriptures to come to understand, how is he attacking me? How is he attacking us? 1 John is one of the best texts on this. 1 John 2:16. "For all this is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. It is not of the Father, but it is of the world." There they are, brethren. Those are the three main avenues through which Satan attacks us. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. You know, if I was going to be honest and start listing my own top five, it would be the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Yeah. All three of them. Is he not attacking you in all three? And I've lost battles in all three. This is the avenue that Satan is attacking us. But not only that, when you go over to Ephesians, it says in chapter 4, 26 to 27, "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil." Now here we're talking about my emotions. Yeah, you know, after the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, my temper. How many of you already got temper on the top five? Probably all of us. And being honest with you, on my top five, what rounds out my top five is fear. Here's Wayne for you. Lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, anger, and fear. That's his attacks on me. That's his attacks on you. We need to know our enemy and know what he's going to do before he does it, so then we will be better able to defend ourselves against his attacks. Going over to Matthew chapter 4, 2 through 3. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry. And now when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. Here you see Satan tempting our Savior, our King, Jesus the Christ. Did Jesus, when he fasted 40 days and 40 nights, how hungry do you think he was? Yeah, hunger like you and I can't imagine. My question for you is this, though. Did Satan know he was hungry? Yeah. Where did he hit him first? Where he knew and thought he would be his weakest. Please let this sink in. Satan knows your weaknesses. Satan knows every battle you've lost. And he knows the battles you have lost the most. Now mark it on the wall, folks. He knows where your weaknesses are, and that's where he's going to hit you first and most often. Satan knows your greatest spiritual weakness. You got to know it, and we got to deal with it. We have to face up to the reality of our weaknesses and the enemy's attacks and where we keep losing. You need to know your allies to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 6:10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Any chance we have against resisting Satan, who is spiritual wickedness in high places, any hope we have whatsoever is only going to be because God is with us. If God's not with you, you're in trouble. You're in big trouble. Because you cannot stand against Satan without God giving you strength. Look at the text here. The strength of the Lord and the power of his might. Our greatest ally is our God. The truth of the matter is our only hope of resisting Satan is our God. It's not me. It's who's with me. My ally is my God. Ecclesiastes 4:9-12 says, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Now look at verse 12. Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. The lesson here is very simple. There's strength in numbers. What Satan wants all of us to do in our spiritual battles against him, he wants you to stay isolated and alone. What I call solitary soldiers. I just think about this in your mind in an imaginary way. You're in a war. Let's go back in the old times, you know, when they had chariots and horses, infantry. And you're standing here with your army, and you look over here, and there's this soldier over here all by himself. He's not with the army. He's isolated himself over here all by himself. Now, what are you going to do as the general of the army? Kill him. He's an idiot. He's out there by himself. He'll be easy to kill. Somebody go get him. You know that's true, isn't it? In a physical war, if you isolate yourself and you're alone, you're going to die quick. And that's what Satan wants us to do. He wants us to isolate ourselves away from our brethren and our fellow soldiers of Christ. He wants us alone. Because if he can isolate us, he can snuff us out easily. Two are better than one. And if two are better than one, three is better than two. One, when you're alone, you can be overpowered. But two, you can withstand. Listen real close, brethren. The lesson I'm trying to teach all of us is we desperately need each other. As fellow soldiers around us, helping us fight our battles. You were never meant to fight any of your battles alone. And yet that's what we do. We keep thinking, I can deal with this by myself. I don't need to let anybody in. Have you ever asked anybody how they were doing physically? And after about 10 minutes, you wish you hadn't asked the question. Because they just keep on like, okay, I got it, you're sick. Have you ever met somebody you didn't even know really well? And you asked them how they were doing emotionally. I've had amazing conversations on airplanes with absolute strangers. I remember one of them, after I got off and we were on boarding, the woman turned around and ran back and hugged me and took off. Because we spent the entire flight talking about her emotional problems. A stranger. But you ask people how they're doing spiritually. How you're dealing with your spiritual struggles and sin that's in your life. You know what you're going to get? I'm doing fine. Really? You're doing fine? The truth of the matter is, we're not doing fine. Why won't we let one another in? Look at these next verses with me. Hebrews 3:13. But exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through what? The deceitfulness of sin. This is dealing with spiritual struggles here. And someone's caught up in the deceitfulness of sin. And they need our daily encouragement and exhortation. What we're talking about here is being an army and not solitary soldiers. We desperately need each other. Look at this next verse. James 5:16. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. When was the last time you did what this verse said do? Have you ever let anybody into where you really are? Or are you trying to fight all of your battles by yourself? If I were going to pick any area where I think we really fail the most, this is it. Rather than an army, we're a bunch of solitary soldiers who keep losing the battles. Find someone you can let in. Find someone you can let down your barriers with and say, here's where I really am. Here's the struggles I really am dealing with. The person hopefully you choose to let in is not going to ridicule you. They're not going to put you down. To the contrary, they will completely understand. Because they've lost the same battles too. I didn't let anybody in until I was 23. And I did it one time at Florida College. And I was sitting in a room with a bunch of boys that were my age. And we started talking. Actually, they started talking. And they started opening up to one another. And I realized, I'm not alone! These young men are facing the same battles I'm facing. They've lost the same battles I've lost. And I did something that they had never done before. I let them in. And I had finally somebody to help me fight my battles that I could be open with about where I was sinning. And then we could pray for each other and check up on each other and have somebody that you're accountable to. That knows where you really are and knows what you're struggling with and will stand beside you and help you and pray with you and encourage you to fight your battle. We desperately need each other, brethren. Find your allies. And then finally, learn your weapons. 2 Corinthians 10:4 through 5, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Look at the first part of this verse. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. What are the weapons of our warfare? You're going to be seeing from Ephesians 6, spiritual weapons. Listen real close now to what I'm about to tell you. We are fighting a spiritual enemy. Satan is real. He is a spiritual enemy attacking us. God has given us spiritual weapons to fight a spiritual enemy. We must know our weapons well and use our weapons well to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. The text here talks about pulling down strongholds. In ancient times, they would have the walls, and then you would have the stronghold. The stronghold was the safest place you could retreat to and hold up inside sometimes for months while they took the entire city. And the strategy was this. You let them go to sleep at night, and then you come out and kill a bunch of people and run back inside the stronghold. What is a stronghold for us? A stronghold for us is where Satan is, and we fight against it, and we think we're doing well, and we're holding our ground, and we think we don't have to deal with it anymore, and boom, he comes out again. And we've lost the battle again, and we're like, back here again. Yeah, you know about it, don't you? You know why you know about it? Because everybody here has got a stronghold. Everybody here, we've all got spiritual weaknesses. We've all got an area where we've lost the battles the most. We can pull down the strongholds with the weapons God has given us. Ephesians chapter 6, 10 through 17. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Now stop right there. We're talking about the power of the Lord. And the only way we are going to be strong and be able to resist Satan is with the power of the Lord and being strong in his might. Not my might, his might. Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand an evil day, and having done all to stand. I got a question for you before we go any further. When is the evil day? Every day. Is there a day in your life when he doesn't hit you somehow, some way? Every day is the evil day. And when you realize, I'm being tempted here, I'm being attacked in the same old area again. That's the evil day. But we are able, now get this, we are able to stand in the evil day. We are able to resist in the evil day. We are able to say no to the temptations of Satan in the evil day. How do you resist? How do you do this? Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. There it is. That's our armor. That's the spiritual weaponry God has given us. And the weapons God has given us, learn this, brethren, the weapons work. And we must know our weapons and use our weapons. Ephesians 6:17, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Back in Matthew 4, when Jesus was tempted, how did he defend himself? But he answered and said, it is written. You see that right there? It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. This is how our king and our captain defended himself when he was being attacked by Satan. He pulled the sword of the Spirit from its sheath and said, "It is written." And he quoted the scripture. Okay. Soldiers, men and women, give me attention. This is big. Remember your big five? The big five that are you and your weaknesses? Now I want you to find five verses in the scriptures that deal with those struggles. If you're dealing with the lust of the flesh, how about this one? Psalms 101, verse 3. I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the works of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. Yeah, that's a good one for the lust of the flesh. Or you may be struggling with your temper. How about this one? It is written, therefore be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down upon your wrath. Do not give place to the devil. Do you see what I just did? I just quoted a scripture that deals with my struggles. The next time the enemy attacks, and he is and he will, you know it's coming. Please do this. Please just start trying it. Quote the scriptures that fit the struggle. The last thing Satan wants you to do is use your weapon. The last thing he wants you to do in the middle of the attack and the temptation is to take your mind and your heart to the Word of God. And quoting the Word of God to focus your mind on the will of God, that's the last thing he wants you to do. And so if you are never quoting the scriptures, no wonder you keep losing the battles. You're not using your weapon. Stop it. Learn your weapon. Learn it. Put to memory the verses that fit your struggles. And when the temptations come, and you know they're coming, it is written. If that's what our king and our captain had to do, please learn from his example. It is the weapon. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. 1 John 2:12-14 says, I have written to you, young men, because you are strong and the Word of God abides in you. Look at this. And you have overcome the wicked one. How did they overcome the wicked one? By the Word of God abiding in them. And when they're attacked, they use the weapon. They quote the scripture that deals with the attack that's taking place. Ephesians 6:16. Above all, take the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. What the metaphor here is the concept of someone shooting at you with a bow and arrow that's on fire at the end. And so what you do is you take your shield and you put it up and it hits the shield and you're protecting yourself. The idea is it doesn't matter what temptation Satan hits you with, it is going to be through your faith you're going to be able to resist. It is our faith that is our shield. Look at this next verse. 1 John 5:4-5. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world. What? Our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? You overcome the wicked one early back in 2:14 because the Word of God is abiding in you. You're able to hold your ground here because of your faith. When he's talking about you overcoming the world, that's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. We can resist, brethren. We can hold our ground. We can stand in an evil day. Go back to 1 Timothy 6 now, verse 12. Fight the good fight of, what is it? Faith. Lay hold on eternal life. 1 Peter 5:8-9. Be sober and vigilant because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the what? Faith. knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. What I'm trying to show you very simply is this. The Word of God that produces faith also produces the knowledge of the will of God. And then the way we're going to be able to resist is with the Word of God in our faith. It's that simple. With the Word of God and our faith, we can resist and be good soldiers of Jesus Christ, fighting the good fight of faith. Matthew 26:41, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation, for the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. In the context here, we're in the Garden of Gethsemane, and Jesus has already told his disciples, you're going to all flee tonight. Peter goes as far as saying, I'm not so, Lord. I'll die with you, but I'm never going to forsake you. I got a question for all of us. Did they mean what they said there? Yes, they did. With every fiber of their being, Peter meant what he said. What happened? Just a few moments later, everything he said he wouldn't do, he did. Can you relate to it? Have you ever in your mind thought, okay, I got this beat now. He's not coming back there anymore. I'm doing good here. And all of a sudden, you're right back there again. Yeah. That's a stronghold. So he tells us something here. We got good intentions. We want to be pleasing to our Father. We want to be pleasing to God. And yet here comes the battle, here comes the temptation, and we're back in it again. That's the reality, okay? He tells them very simply, watch and pray. Watch and pray. Now let's go back to Ephesians 6:18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. You see the text here? You're praying and being watchful. Okay. Being watchful is this. Recognize where you are while it's happening. When you realize a temptation is happening and the enemy is attacking you, recognize it and get ready to defend yourself. And if necessary, just run. Get away from it. Close the door, get out of there, and quote the scriptures. Use the weapons God has given us. They work. But what's this praying bit? I'll put it to you more simply this way. Help! Help, Lord. I'm in the middle of the war again. Help. Who is our greatest ally? Who will never leave us nor forsake us? It is only because of Him and His power and His might that we have any hope of standing in the evil day. Our God. Call upon God for help in the middle of the battle. Romans 8:37. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. I wanted to close this sermon with this verse. The primary focus of the sermon this morning has been this. Learning how to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Learning how to resist Satan. Learning how to stand in the evil day. By knowing yourself. By knowing your enemy. By knowing your weaknesses. By knowing where he's coming back. And then by knowing your allies and going to God crying for help. Finding brethren you can let in to encourage you and strengthen you and pray for you and be accountable to one another. And then finally, learn your weapons. Find the verses that fit your struggles. Memorize them. And when you know he comes back and it's coming, it is written. Quote the first one. It is written. Quote the second. It is written, quote third. Focus the mind on the Word. And guess what, brethren? We can stand in the evil day. But not only stand, we can be more than conquerors. The sermon has been primarily about defense. I want to conclude it by talking about offense. A conqueror is taking territory for our King. The battleground, again, is the minds and the hearts of mankind. And what we're taking into this battle is not to just defend ourselves, but to conquer territory is the same weapons. What you defend yourself with is what you conquer territory with, the Word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Telling people about Christ's crucifixion, His resurrection, the power of the blood of Christ, the gospel, they can be forgiven, and how that they too can learn to arm themselves and repent and change and become good soldiers of Christ. We are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Not only can we stand our ground in the evil day, we can conquer territory for our King. Brethren, ladies, men, learn to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. Learn to fight the good fight of faith. Learn to stand in the evil day. The battleground, it's our mind, it's our heart. You're going to lose battles at times, okay? That's reality. Our God is gracious, thank you, Father. Our God is merciful, thank you, God. He's willing to forgive us. But He expects us to work at being better soldiers to where we stand in the future, to where we learn to hold our ground and learn to take ground for our King and our conqueror, Jesus the Christ. Starting today, right now, for the rest of your life, work toward this goal. I want to be a good soldier of Christ. I want to be able to fight the fight of faith, to put out the fiery darts of the wicked one. I want to be able to become a soldier of Christ, my King is proud of. Because you see, you may lose battles, but if you lose the war, you lose your soul. That's why this sermon is so important. You're going to lose battles, okay. Get up. Get back into the battle. Pray for forgiveness. And try to do a better job next time. In fighting the good fight of faith. Thank you for your kind attention. If there's anybody here this morning who's not in Christ yet, and you believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, what are you waiting for? If you die separated from God, you will be lost. You don't have to stay there. God wants to transfer you and take you from the power of darkness over into the kingdom of the Son of His love. And the way you get there is by obeying the gospel of God. If you have faith, be willing to confess your faith, repent of your sins, be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins, you'll be reconciled to God, forgiven by God. In your life, you grow in your faith, you grow in your knowledge of the will of God, and then by your faith, you keep His will. You're going to lose battles at times. Everybody does. If a man says without sin, he's a liar and the truth isn't in him. Take the sin to God, pray for forgiveness of it, get back up and get into the battle. We'll pray for you, we'll pray with you. We'll do the best we can to encourage you, to exhort you daily while it's called today, so that you will stand, hopefully, in the future better than you have in the past. If you're subject to the gospel call in any way, let us know where we stand and sing the song that has been selected.